All right. So let's get to work over here. Here we go. We have someone is in the middle of a big trip in Seattle and is staying in an Airbnb. And he wanted to know if he can use the can opener that's in this Airbnb. So what's the shaila, right? Perhaps they used it to open up tray food. But even if they did, you can't open up a can that's hot. It will burn you. So whatever he opened up was a cold can. And this person will also be able to open up a cold can. So at worst, it is a cold tray food that touched this can opener. And you're going to be using it for a cold can. So therefore, there's no problem. Just you do want to wash it off well. But there is no problem of using that can opener. Just make sure it is clean. Now, Josh, you asked about working on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Yontif. So the way it goes like this, we discussed a little on the phone, but the way it works is, Me'ikar Din, besides Erev Pesach, you're allowed to work every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontif. It is brought down that you won't see Simen Bracha from your money, but...
Does that count from after Chatzos?
But, so it's a Machlokes Rishonim, is that from Mincha Gedayla or Mincha Ketana? And so I saw that definitely many places can say you could go like Mincha Ketana, which means, let's say the day is from 6 to 6, 3:30 and on, 2.5 halachic hours before Shkia. So from 3:30 and on is when you should not do work. Now, again, it's not usser. If something pressing comes, you can. But that's the time that will say no Simen Bracha, perhaps. Again, we don't know how things work exactly. But from Mincha Ketana and on, from 3:30 and on, should be
and when. Is Mincha Ketana listed on Ma'izmanim?
It should be. It's called Mincha Ketana. It's 2.5 halachic hours before Shkia. Okay, so it's loosely 3:30. Nowadays is probably maybe closer to 4. But whatever, it's in that range of time. So then that would be the ideal time not to do any work. Little short work here and there is fine, but as far as setting up jobs and things like that, you should start stopping it from Mincha, Ketana, and on.
What if it's like, what if it's busy organizational work, like paying taxes or bills or like
right,
stuff
that's
like
okay.
That?
I mean, you don't want to do anything that you're going to get caught up in. And again, as far as seeing Simen Bracha, you don't want to be making money during that time. As far as doing your own paperwork, that's fine. Just you don't want to get caught off of something. You don't want something to like take all your time and your mind before Shabbos. All right, another Shabbos. And then nowadays that we are adding Hamelach HaKadosh to Shmona Esrei, if we forget it, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. So what happens if you forget it and you're still in the middle of Shmona Esrei? So now you know you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. So what do you do? Do you take 3 steps back? Do you say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach? So it is interesting, you do not need to say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. And I saw one sefer talk about it, you don't need to take 3 steps back. I did not see anyone else talk about it. So in the meantime, we'll go with this, which is, if let's say you're an atachonim, you said, oh my, I forgot Havel HaKadosh, the next thing you do is Baruch Atah Hashem and start from Esrei again. You don't need to take 3 steps back, you don't need to say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. And that seems to be the halacha also coming out with Mashiva Ruach. If you were to forget Mashiva Ruach, starting from Shmini Atzeres and on, that would be the same halacha. Anytime that you have to repeat Shmona Esrei and you're in the middle of it, no need to say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach and no need to take 3 steps back. Another shayla that was discussed this week, or actually a few weeks ago, someone asked, as far as storing your mirror for tefillin inside the tefillin bag. So in the plastic is no problem. But what about in the actual bag that actually is holding the tefillin? So there, the shayla is, that bag has been designated for Tashmishi Kedusha, for Kisvei Kodesh, and therefore to use it for other things may be an issue. The ideal would be to have a plastic around it, but if you don't have that plastic, so then the second ideal would be to make it Tanai before you put your tefillin in that you're designating this for all types of uses. Then it's okay. But if you didn't do that because your bar mitzvah already passed or whatever and your tefillin have already been in there, so then it's best not to, but you still could be lenient and say that it's an assumed Tanai. That everyone assumes that you're going to use it for other purposes, which is a little bit shaky because most people have plastics. So it's hard to say it is assumed, but there are those that say you could be lenient and put your mirror in because that's the tzarech that's filling. But to keep stuck in there or keep something in there which is not the tzarech filling would be a lot harder to allow. And therefore, get a plastic or put it in your pocket or your jacket pocket. But a mirror or things that are the tzarech filling, definitely more room to be lenient with that. And then, yeah, people from the Israeli side ask a lot of Israeli questions, which we will, no one here is from Israel right now, so we'll leave those out. But the last thing I discussed, someone was asking, by a sar rishonim, right, there is an inyan, you get the schar if you're the first 10 at a minyan. So now, nowadays, if the minyan only has 10, that's like interesting. But the idea is that he asked me, is there, am I the being number one or number two? Meaning, is it only being from the first 10 and then you're all equal? Where number one is even better than number two, and number two is even better than number three. It is interesting, because you can talk about that, Shaila, and they do say that one is better than two. And therefore, I mean, we don't need to start a fight and a race and like knock people away from the door. But if you do have the ability of being the first, the second, third, there's definitely a, you get more schar.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you don't hear me?
Just last 30 seconds.
Now you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so the side with the Sar Rishonim, is there a mila of being from the first 10 or number one is better than number two and number two is better than number three? So it was discussed in the Paiskim and they do say that being number one is better than number two and two is better than number three. So we don't want to start a war and a pushing match, you know, like the Mesa Migdash and shoving people away. But if you have the opportunity of being like really number one or really number two, really number three, you are getting more schar than being number 10, and for sure being number 20 and 30. So that was just interesting. So ever since I told that person is number one in shul every morning. I'm number two, but he's number one. I can't beat this guy. But you definitely do get a schar for coming first. Okay, now let's get to the regularly scheduled program.
You also get for 10th.
Right. Being
Siri, Mikabel Schar Kulam.
Yeah, but does 10 get more than number 9?
Yeah, obviously, yes. If it's Keneged Schar Kulam.
What?
It says Asiri is Keneged Schar Kulam.
Yeah, but one is Keneged all and also, it says.
So 1 and 10 are equal and everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know how this works. Okay, so you so I'll be number one, you be number 10. We'll see what happens. And then right, so then John, as far as Erev Yom Kippur, there is no issue with Erev Yom Kippur. Shui, my long lost friend. I miss you, my friend. I'm in America. Come visit me in Pennsylvania. Anyway, we're on the air. We'll talk later. So don't leave early. We'll talk at the end. Anyway, so what's it called? So Erev Yom Kippur, there's no problem before Chatzos, after Chatzos, there's no problem with Malacha. Okay, now let's get to the regularly scheduled program because Shui came to hear all about the lachas of Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, and Chol HaMoed. Now, it may not be hitting home right now because like Yom Kippur's on our mind, but it's coming up. We already did the Shir Yom Kippur, and now it's time for Hoshana Rabbah. So first, as far as Chol HaMoed, the general rules in Chol HaMoed are that whatever is generally malacha should not be done. We don't do malacha on Chol HaMoed. The Haterim are Dabar Aved, which means for your parnasa, you're going to lose. So then you're allowed to do whatever you need to do, even if it's a suffix. It doesn't have to be guaranteed you're going to lose money. Even if it's a suffix, you are allowed to do malacha. The other thing is, if you need it for Chol HaMoed, anything which is needed to be done for Chol HaMoed is also mutter to be done. Now, you're not allowed to shave. You're not allowed to take a haircut, even though that's needed. That's not allowed. Your fingernails or toenails, you can bite them if you like. But as far as cutting them with a nail cutter, so that if you cut them before Yontif, then there's a heter to cut them Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed. But if you didn't cut them before Yontif, so then you really should not cut them with a nail cutter at all during Chol HaMoed. Unless it's for a mikvah purposes, then you can cut whatever needs to be cut. The other thing as far as doing laundry, we don't do laundry unless you need it for Chol HaMoed, mamish, or for Yontif. If you have a stain that won't come out, get the stain out. That would be considered davar aved. Do what you got to do to get that stain out. And as far as writing, you're allowed to write all Chiddushei Torah. So Shui, you should be very busy, Chol HaMoed. Writing Chiddushei Torah is fine. If you need to write for the kids for something, so if you do a shinoi, do a shinoi. If you can't do it with the shinoi and it's needed to entertain the kids, you need to make a picture for them and they're colored in, then that's okay as well. Okay, that's just loose general klalim for Chol HaMoed. Now, it's getting to Hoshanah Rabbah. So Hoshanah Rabbah is the last Gemara Din. So like we're full of Gemara Dins over here. We have Hoshanah, we have Yom Kippur. Hoshanah Rabbah is the end of whatever that means, but it's definitely treated as a Yom HaDin. It could be it's a Yom HaDin for the water, because on Sukkot we're judged for water, so maybe Hoshanah Rabbah is connected to that, but we treat it as a mini Yantiv, a mini Yom HaDin. Therefore, we do the Yantiv davening, Pesukei Dezimra. On Hoshanah Rabbah, the Pesukei Dezimra is almost like a Yantiv davening. We do not say Nishmas, and we do say Mizmor LeSeida. But besides that, it's a regular Pesukei Dezimra of a Yantiv. There are those that have a minhag to have Kreplach on Hoshanah Rabbah, also on Erev Yom Kippur, a minhag to have Kreplach. There's some hidden reasons for that, but it is a Yom HaDin. Now, as far as the Lulav on Hoshanah Rabbah, different minhagim are out there. I'll tell you what mine is, and you can follow yours. But the minhag of on Hoshanah Rabbah is after you make your bracha on Hallel to take off the three rings around the lulav. Because when you shake during Hallel, you want it to be a festa shake, because it's like the last time to shake, not because it's fun, but it's doing spooky stuff in Shemayim. So you want to take off the three rings around your lulav after you make Berachas Hallel. So for the Nanuim of Hallel, you'll have a really nice shake. And then we're going to do, you go around the bima seven times. If you have a shul and you have a bima, you go around seven times. You don't need to be the first one, or it's okay to be the last one. But you do try to go around seven times, saying the Hoshanahs. And yeah, the rings are only come up during Hoshanah Rabbah. The rest of the year, the rest of Sukkot, the rings have to be on there. It's only during Hoshanah Rabbah. After the Rakhalo, you take the rings off. So now you're going to go around the Bima. You only go around the Bima with your Lulav and your Esters, not with the Hoshanah bundle, which we'll get to in a second. That is saved for at the end. So you go around, you do the Hakafas, seven Hakafas with your Dalid Minim. Then you'll see in the Bencher, in your Machzer or your Siddur, where you put down your Lulav and your Esther, and you pick up the Hoshanah bundle. Now, what is this Hoshanah bundle? The minhag is to have five new kosher Arabas. Five new kosher Arabas, that's a minhag. However, if you can't get hold of five new kosher Arabas, you can use however many you can get a hold of. You're even allowed to take the two out of your Lulav. It's not ideal. Better to get other ones, but if you can't, so then at least take the two out of your lulav. And now you're holding your Hoshanah bundle. There's a minhag to wrap them up at the bottom with either another arava twig, or if you don't have that, you use a rubber band. But if you use a rubber band, don't hold it there. Hold it above the rubber band or below the rubber band. Don't hold the rubber band. Now, you do something which most people don't do, and I don't know why. You take your Hoshanah bundle and you do nanum with them. You shake them around like your lulav. Front, back, right, the six directions. You should do nanuim with a Hoshanah bundle. The Ramah brings it down. I don't know why people don't do it. I do it. I've seen other people do it. So go do it. So you do the nanuim with a Hoshanah bundle. And then it comes time to hitting. The hitting, the Machzer will tell you when to hit. And hitting is a machlekes, how you hit. Do you hit them on the floor or do you hit them on the chair? The difference is, if you hit them on the floor, one or two leaves will fall off. If you hit them on the chair, you will destroy it. It will completely chop off. It's a machlokas what you want to do. Do you want to destroy it, or do you want to just hit it? So it is a machlokas. I actually take two. I do one of each. But you can do whatever you like. But definitely two different minhagim out there as far as banging it. Now that you've finished with your dalim minim and your aravas, and your, so what do you do with them? So the ideal is to save them and do another mitzvah with them, which would be either burn them with a chametz or bake the matzah with them. Some people do. Other people put them on top of the bima and let the janitor take care of them. But whatever it is, you don't want to treat them in a bizarre way, which means do not throw them in the garbage. What you could do is put them in a bag, their own bag, and then dispose of it. That you could do. So you either dispose it in a bag, leave in the shul, let the shul take care of it, which I don't like, or save it for Pesach. Now, others, Hasidish and Neshamas, What they do is they save them. They put them by the head of the bed. That there's a school that to keep the lulav and the arava, the hashanavano, by the head of your bed. If you do that, make sure you take it out of the plastic bag, because if you don't, it will rot, be moldy, and not like it's ever happened to me, but it's really not a pretty sight. So you definitely want to take it out of the bag and keep it by the head of your bed. That's fine. But definitely do not treat them in a bizarre way. As far as eating the esrog, there are those who have a minhag to eat the esrog. It provides many different types of skulas. Do not, no matter what other people tell you, do not bite the esrog on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Not allowed, not permitted. We don't do that. I'm sorry. So what you are allowed to do is bite it on Shemini Atzeres. And actually, in America, some say don't even do it on Shemini Atzeres. Do it on Simchas Torah and on. So if you want to bite the esrog, I will recommend doing it from the ninth day, from Simchas Torah and on, for those segulas. Okay, now, on Hoshana Rabbah, come Shemini Atzeres. Do we eat in the sukkah? Do we not eat in the sukkah? Everyone here is in America, so we will talk about the American minhagim. The American minhagim is to eat in the sukkah Shemini Atzeres. Not everybody has that minhag, but many people do. Whether you do, whether you don't, you definitely do not make a bracha. You don't make leishev a sukkah. So starting from Shemini Atzeres and on, my minhag is in America to sit in the sukkah, but do not make a bracha on Shemini Atzeres. To sleep in the sukkah, it's a machlekes. If you sleep in the sukkah, Shemini Atzeres, if you do, you should sleep in there with a garbage bag, a garbage or a dirty pot, just to show that you're not doing it for the mitzvah. That's what because big machlekes, if it's a problem or not. So therefore, Shemini Atzeres, you can eat there regularly, sleeping there with a garbage can. As far as Simchas Torah, there it's a bigger issue, and there for sure, if you want to eat, for whatever reason, the weather's nice, you want to eat in the sukkah, there you have to eat in the sukkah with a garbage can or dirty pots, just to show that you're not doing it for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is over, you're just eating there because it's nice and pleasant to eat there. Okay, that's as far as eating it. Now, if you want to take stuff from the sukkah into your house, like you need the chairs, you need the tables, that's fine, but you can't do it on Yontif, on the Shemini Atzeres, you can't do it on Yontif to prepare for matzah, for Simchas Torah. Therefore, you would have to wait and do it by night because you can't prepare from one day of Yontif to the next day of Yontif. Okay? So that's a wrap. That on Shemini Atzeres, eat in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah with garbage can. If you want to eat in the sukkah or sleep in the sukkah on Simchas Torah, then you have to have either a garbage can or dirty pots just to show you're not doing the mitzvah. And the kelim that you take out of the sukkah can only be taken out the same day that you need them, and you can't prep for the next day. Now, the davening of Shemini Atzeres, we change the nusach and we say Chag Shemini Atzeres, Shemini Chag Atzeres. Do whatever your nusach is, but we do not say Chag Asukas Hazeh. If you say Chag Asukas Hazeh, or Shemini Atzeres, is a big machlekes. If you have to repeat, we pass and you don't go back, but don't mess up. So pay attention. Say Shemini Atzeres. Don't say Chag Asukas. But if you did say Chag Asukas, don't do it again. But don't repeat from Asrei. We make a Shechiyon on Shemini Atzeres because Shemini Atzeres is a new Yontif. It's not Sukkot anymore. It's a new Yontif. And therefore, you do make another Shechiyon, and you don't need to have new clothing for it because the Shechiyon is for the new Yontif of Shemini Atzeres. Okay, now, as far as Tfilas Geshem, so if you have a minion, great. And what's going to happen in the minion is the Gabbai will bang on the bima and say, Ma'ashim Ruach Amir HaGashem before Musaf. So then in Musaf, you will say Ma'ashim Baruch HaMered HaGashem. If you forget, you have to repeat. Unless you said Mered HaTol. If you say Mered HaTol, you don't need to repeat because you didn't say Ma'ashim Baruch HaMered HaGashem. But if you did not say Mered HaTol and you did not say Ma'ashim Baruch HaMered HaGashem, so then you're going to have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Now, if for that reason the Gabbai does not bang on the Bima, then you do not say Ma'ashim Baruch in that Musaf Shmon Esrei. And therefore, if you're diving at home where there's no Gabbai except for yourself, do not bang on the bima. Say Musaf with Merid Atol. Do not say Ma'ashim Baruch in Musaf you're diving at home because there was no Tfilas Geshem yet. You should say Merid Atol just in case. So in Musaf of Shemini Atzeres that you're diving at home, say Merid Atol. In Mincha, you say Ma'ashim Baruch HaMerid HaGashem. If you want to say the Tfilas Geshem yourself, you could, but you don't have to. It's really Halacha Metzibur. But you could say it's a Tfilah. But either way, No mashavuach in Musaf, just a merit hat tall. Okay. Now, Simchas Torah. The last part, Simchas Torah. So on Simchas Torah, our job is to be very happy, dance with all our strength, because we have just completed the Torah, and we should be very happy about that. And therefore, even if you don't know any Torah, or even if you haven't learned the whole Torah, still, whatever little Torah you do know, you have to be happy for that, and be happy for Klal Yisrael that has finished the Torah. And therefore, dance with all your strength. Now, if you do not have hakafas in shul, so dance at home. That's also fine. And take out a chumash and do some dancing with that. But definitely show simcha on Simchas HaTorah. It's good to get an aliyah. You don't have to like kill everybody or auction it off for so much money, but everyone should be getting aliyahs if you can. Even katanim get aliyahs. Now, if there are hakafas and you are in shul and you have a Sefer Torah, the best is to hold the Sefer Torah as long as you can. Meaning, don't be that guy that takes it for 1 second and then passes it off. Unless you can't carry anyone, then it's fine. Otherwise, hold it as long as you can until they need it. Don't voluntarily give it away, because then it's like you're showing it doesn't mean much to you. You're voluntarily giving it away. You hold it as long as you can and, you know, hide a little bit until they really need it, until someone else needs it, until the guy demands it back, then you give it back. Otherwise, don't be voluntarily giving it away. Now, the hardest part of Simchas Torah is, are you allowed to sit down? Are you allowed to sit down while Hakafah is going on? Because the rule is, hello, Binyamin. The rule is that you are not allowed to sit down when the Sefer Torah is in motion. When the Aron HaKodesh is open, you're allowed to sit down. But when the Sefer Torah are in motion, you're not allowed to sit. So therefore, during Hakafah, it could be an hour or two, the Sefer Torah are always in motion, you should not be allowed to sit. And therefore, definitely, if you have the strength, you should not sit. If you're feeling weak, maybe go out a little bit and sit down outside. Another idea is take the Sefer Torah and sit with it. If you're holding the Sefer Torah, then you're allowed to sit. But then people won't be so happy with you because, like, start dancing with it. But you, that's another heter. If all else fails, there is a heter out there in the world that said that maybe you could sit. So if you can't stand or you can't leave the room, so then there is someone to rely on that you could sit, but it's very busy of it. Ideally, you don't want to have to do that. A hagba is normally done with it backwards. It's a remez because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says hafuchba, hafuchba, v'kuleba. Everything's in the Torah, so therefore in Simchas Torah, we flip it around and show everything is in the Torah. If the Kayanim are drunk, they're not allowed to duchen. If the Kayanim drink even, you know, a nice amount of wine, perhaps revias, they should not duchen. And therefore, different minhagim out there. Some duchen by shachris and not by musaf. Some do shachris, musaf, and then kriyas Torah, and therefore they are sober by musaf. But whatever it is, there should be no drinking and duchening. And that is a wrap on Simchas Torah. Okay, just a few things on the parsha. This week's parsha is Parsha Zinu, and also a little bit of Yom Kippur. So Parsha Zinu is very interesting. It's written in the shape of a shira, very similar to Az Yashir. Now, Az Yashir, when you read Az Yashir, it's full of praise and thanks to Hashem for killing the Mitzvah and saving us. It's a real song, a song of joy. When you read Hazinu, it's not a song of joy. It's a mention of a lot of sufferings that Klal Yisrael have been through, troubles and tribulations that we've been through. So why is it written in Shira form? So I heard a pshat that even though no one wants to suffer and no one wants to be, you know, go through certain levels of misery, but once you've gotten past them and you look back, you may see how that has really helped you. That's really shaped you. That's really helped you grow. And I was once by a shiva house. That was someone, Rav Simcha Scheinberg, said over the name of his father. It's Hashem Nasan, Hashem Lokach. Hashem gives and Hashem takes. But it uses the word Hashem, which is the midah of rachamim. The same midah of rachamim that gives is also the midah that takes. It's all done with rachamim. And therefore, even our sufferings and what's hard is still from the rachamim. And when you look back, there's what to sing shira about it. So it's a remez, it's written like a shira, that even the tough stuff is worthy of thanking Hashem. Maybe not while you're going through it, it's very hard. But afterwards, you will see, perhaps, that help make you a better person. Another thing is it discusses, the pasuk says, Sori Ladacha Teshi, which it's, I mean, there are a lot of hard words in Hazinu, but one pshat in this pasuk is that we may forget Hashem. The Duvna Magid has one of the classic Duvna Magid Mashalim that he says, Reuven owed a lot of people money and he couldn't pay them back. So he was bemoaning this to his friend Shimon. Shimon, what should I do? I owe all these people money. So Shimon said, I got a great idea for you, Reuven. Anytime someone comes to collect money, start like barking like a dog, stand on the table, start like singing and dancing. They'll think you've lost your mind and they'll just forget about it. Like, who's going to collect money from Meshuggah? So that's what he did. Lady, Yehuda, the whole nation came to collect their money, and he barked like a dog, he jumped on the table, and it worked like a charm. Reuven went over to Shimon. Shimon, I owe you my life. You saved me so much. I now got rid of all my debts. I don't have to pay anyone. It worked like a charm. Shimon said, I'm so happy for you. And by the way, Reuven, you also owe me $1,000. Reuven at that point started barking like a dog, standing on the table, and Shimon told him, hey, Shui. Okay, fine. Shui, you go dial him and give me a call. So he stood on the table and started like, you know, acting crazy in front of Shimon. Shimon said, you can't do that. I taught you that. And the Duvna Magid wants to explain how Hashem gave us a koyach to forget. Sometimes it's important to forget certain things you've been through. It's time to move on and forget about it. But never forget Hashem. That koyach of shikha, Hashem gave us to forget things to be able to move on. But never to use that to forget to do Torah mitzvahs, to forget Hashem. And just the last thing on Yom Kippur, right, as we go into Yom Kippur, I get a lot of shailas about davening with a minyan, how long, Davening is crucial, for sure important, but don't lose focus. The ikkar of the day is the fasting. The fasting, the two ikkarim, I'll tell you. One is the fasting. Fasting is a mitzvah d'oraisa every second that you're fasting. We never have such an opportunity. When do you ever have an opportunity where there's a mitzvah d'oraisa every second, 24, 25 hours straight? So someone wants to say, but if I go to shul, so I won't be able to fast so well. So stay home. Going to shul is nice. Fasting is imperative. And therefore, whatever your situation is, you definitely want to do whatever you can do to fast, even if it means not going to shul. And have in your mind, which I tell my family, my mother remembers this from year to year, when you look at your watch and you see there's 10 hours left, you shouldn't be saying, oh my gosh, there's 10 hours left. It should be, yay, there's still 10 hours to go. When there's an hour left, it's, oy vavoy, only an hour left. With that attitude, it's like you're saying, God, thank you for this opportunity. Because on the day that we're getting cleansed, we also have this opportunity to be able to do this mitzvah. And as far, the other thing is vidoy. For sure, vidoy is imperative. You know, I mean, we do it 10 times on Yom Kippur. You may feel a little bit redundant, and it is redundant, but the chiyuv is to at least do it once. Try to always mean it when you do it. But the idea is that Yom Kippur is a washing machine. If you go in the washing machine, you're going to come out clean, but you got to put a little detergent in. The vidoy is the detergent. You do one vidoy, you are repentant, you sincerely mean it. Now you went in your washing machine, you got your vidoy, you're going to come out sparkling clean. We believe in the koyach of Yom Kippur. It's an awesome day. We go in there with this mitzvah d'oraisa fasting. We do go in there with at least one vidoy and a mitzvah. We will all come out sparkly clean. Gemach hasim ha'tayva. Good gilashtyar. Good night. Good Shabbos. The next year will be sometime well after Sukkot. We'll talk about it. We'll figure out when. All right.
What should we do if we're in a place where there are Simchas Torah dancing has been canceled?
If they're canceling it, it shouldn't cancel it for you. Don't hold anybody's hand, but you should dance. And if you feel like the weirdo dancing in the corner, so don't dance in the corner by yourself, but go home and dance. Now, if you could do it in shul with someone, great, but you can at least dance by yourself.
Or can we like learn a lot instead?
You can learn a lot. That's fine to learn. I'm all for learning.
Because that's less of a social.
But the avodah of the day is the simcha. So go learn also. You can't have a day without learning. But definitely spend a nice amount of time dancing. You want to dance by yourself? Take a chumash and dance in a circle. Make it real. Appreciate what we have.
Shkaya Chavram.
Okay, thank you, Abba.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll try and call you tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow. Okay, goodbye, Josh. Goodbye, Ella.
Thank you.
Mommy's still there?
Yeah.
Mommy's still there? You're not there. Okay.
It's like, it feels like I'm about to sneeze.
All right. Good night. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello?
Avram.
Hello.
Avram, we've been on the whole time.
Great. Hello. How are you?
Yeah. Very good shear. Excellent. Mitsuyan. And your shirt is so nice and crisp. How'd you get it so crispy clean?
The way it works is if you wear it 6 days straight, it looks crispy.
Well, it sure looks good.
Well, it's made it through the whole week. Thank you very much.
It was a very interesting shear, and you have a very entertaining way of really teaching people halacha.
Thank you.
You make it fun.
Yes, you do.
And you, at the same time, you make your point very clear, and that's a real talent.
Thank you very much. Where's the butt?
What?
There's no butt coming.
No butt? Come on.
There is a but.
Oh, good.
It has to do with your...